Mini episode 1935 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to FDH Lounge mini episode 1935. This is FDH managing partner Rick Morris here with our 2026 MLB midseason analysis. You can find our companion piece to this segment on the main page at fantasydrafthelp.com labeled the 2026 MLB midseason breakdown. Here's our top five notes of interest in what has been a wild season to date. Number 5. New places to watch the game. In the Tampa area, this means that the Rays have relocated back to Tropicana Field after the Hurricane Milton damage has been repaired. To the rest of America, we're talking about TV. NBC is back in the game for the first time since 2000, of course not counting the two games that migrated over from Peacock in 2022 and 2023. Sunday Night Baseball has moved to NBC, with all games simulcast on Peacock, and many more games to be found there. ESPN is down to a trickle of games, but they are moving some of them to ABC, which has its greatest regular season presence in 31 years. Netflix got Opening Night, the Home Run Derby, and the Field of Dreams game. Fox, FS1, MLB Network, Apple TV, and TBS have essentially the same packages, although there's a lot of speculation that if TBS renews beyond 2028, that their new corporate overlord Paramount could move some games to new sister network CBS. Oh, and MLB brought back This Week in Baseball on Twitter and YouTube, but only kinda sorta since the episodes are only 8 minutes long. Number 4. Big injuries and big emergences. Some of the game's brightest stars have missed significant time due to injuries, including Tarek Skubal, Garrett Crochet, Jose Ramirez, Ronald Acuna Jr., and Aaron Judge. But the breakthroughs have been very monumental as well. Jacob Misurowski has broken speed gun records on the reg and has reached an elite level already in his career. Cam Schlittler is the favorite to win the American League Cy Young Award. Other top hurlers leveling up include Chase Burns, Max Meyer, Parker Messick, Davis Martin, and the triumphant returnee from Japan, Foster Griffin. Hitting breakthroughs have been less sensational, but still impactful, including Brandon Marsh, Sal Stewart, Dylan Dingler, and Otto Lopez. And let's not forget the return to form of Yordan Alvarez, who put a nightmarish 2025 behind him, not just picking up at the elite level where he spent the early 2020s, but threatening to win the American League Triple Crown. Number 3. Some expected contenders have tanked, some survived brutal starts, and some complete surprise contenders have emerged, but through it all, the American League is garbage. The Mets are the ugliest surprise of 2026, but their weird offseason, where they spent good money on a number of players who they intended to relocate position-wise, gave some clue that they weren't fully locked and loaded. Boston and San Francisco, not coincidentally members of the Rafael Devers Club, have both tanked in ugly fashion. Kansas City and Detroit, both considered at least marginal contenders, have fallen off severely, although advanced metrics show that the Tigers are a bit unlucky. San Diego's offense is strongly underperforming, and as such, they're barely staying afloat. Philadelphia and Seattle survived rough starts to get back to where they were expected, more or less. Toronto and Baltimore have done a bit less than that. On the positive side of the ledger, Tampa Bay, Texas, the White Sox, Miami, Washington, St. Louis, and Pittsburgh have outpunched their expectations, while Atlanta shockingly picked up where they left off as one of the top teams of the early 2020s. But by and large, the collapse of the AL, which we have charted over the last 2 years, is reaching the point where the NBA's Eastern Conference has spent the majority of the 21st century. With the possible exception of the Yankees and perhaps Seattle, all of the top teams yet again this year are in the senior circuit, headlined unsurprisingly by the Dodgers and somewhat surprisingly by Milwaukee, who had a top-notch regular season in 2025, only to have their souls snatched by LA in the NLCS. Number two, the overall game on the field remains in flux, the result of ongoing rules changes and intriguing trends. The new ABS system, which allows hitters to challenge ball strike calls, is overturning the majority of decisions, leading to a tighter strike zone and pitch framing becoming near obsolete. Perhaps not coincidentally, the game's walk rate is the highest that it has been since 2000. Almost assuredly coincidentally, lefty hitters are doing so much better than usual against righty pitching. And an excellent study done by the Action Network proved that baseball started carrying suddenly 9 feet more on average right on Memorial Day from the earlier average in the season, which had been in line with the standard lower post-pandemic numbers. Juiced ball two, electric boogaloo, anyone? Number one, the season is being played in the shadow of a lockout, which could actually be instrumental in the history of the game. Starting with the collapse of the reserve clause in the mid-1970s, the pendulum swung so violently from favoring owners to favoring players that it's shocking that a literal earthquake didn't ensue. Consider that a player who came along at the end of the old system, Mark the Bird Fidrich, had one of the most celebrated rookie seasons of all time in 1976 as he only made $16,500 that year. Compare that to the multi-year deals in the hundreds of millions today and the minimum salary of $780,000. So this moment has been 50 years in the making. The 1981 strike was the first labor stoppage to severely disrupt a regular season, but player salaries only continued to expand. In the late 1980s, owners were caught resorting to collusion to hold down salaries, but that was unsustainable once they were caught and ordered to pay damages. The 1994-95 player strike was the most severe labor stoppage in major sports history, costing baseball the end of the 1994 regular season and the entire playoffs, but the status quo remained essentially intact at the end of it, when judge and future Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor forced everyone back to work with an injunction against the use of replacement players in 95. By all indications, MLB was headed for the exact moment of reckoning that they now face exactly a quarter century ago. Owners and players prepared for figurative war, but then actual war intruded in the form of 9/11 and Afghanistan, shaming the two sides into avoiding conflict. Subsequent agreements in 2007, 2012, 2017, and 2022 did little to change the trajectory of the game, so any cynicism about this time being different is more than understandable. MLB journalist Seth Everett even predicted emphatically on this show in the late 2010s that the 2022 agreement would have to change the trajectory of the game, but in the end, neither side had the stomach for labor Armageddon. But most negotiations over the past few decades have been the equivalent of the three-way match in pro wrestling, with large and small market owners not presenting a united front against the players. Large market owners essentially shared a common interest with the players, since the ability to spend without limits bolstered their winning ways. Think George Steinbrenner. But this time, even the Dodgers, one of the few remaining holdouts against salary restraint, have fallen into line. And the concept of an impactful salary floor, which is being proposed by owners, may be more meaningful than ever, since it will force the game's laughably cheap franchises like Cleveland, Pittsburgh, and Miami to stop putting the game's revenue-sharing welfare checks in their pockets. We may well be witnessing the season that ends the second era of baseball competitiveness, which lasted about 50 years, and strongly favored the might of the players, and the eve of an era that might augur the first ever period of relative equilibrium between owners and players. Although it might take a bloody work stoppage that lasts well into 2027 for the health of the game, we can only hope that will be the outcome. Thank you for joining us for this mini episode of the FDH Lounge.